tell you, every time we see one of these nut jobs with a gun, every time we see one of these terrorists pull off one of these horrible, tragic stunts, what you end up seeing is you end up learning about some of the people in our country. And I point to this story from St. Louis, where evidently a local gun supply owner who they say is determinedly edgy, whatever the hell that means. The name is Tactical. I'm still not sure if you're allowed to say the S word, but it's Tactical S word. That's the name of the store. Can you imagine that on the side of the road driving by with your kids? Yeah, real good family values. Anyway, he put on Facebook, asked the Facebook faithful of the Tactical Dump for their opinion on the massacre that happened in New Zealand on Friday. The question was the incident a tragedy or was it effing great? And not surprisingly, about 15% said, that's just great. I don't know. Anyway, let's find out what's going on around the world in Washington, D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Just great, Bob. It's just great. About 15%.
15? You are?
No, that was the number. It was about that was the number of this poll. About 15% said it was effing great that this tragedy happened.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I thought you said you were okay, too. Oh, I didn't know that.
I say we hunt those 15% down and rid them of our society because, wow. Wow.
Well, I thought the Chelsea Clinton thing was weird.
That was weird. You know, and again, it was one of those things where, as someone who identifies as a liberal, as a working class liberal, I look at this stuff and I go, you know, you're being irrational. Stop it.
Well, the manifesto actually at one point in time said that he wanted to get the left and the right at each other.
Oh, really? He didn't need a manifesto for that.
I don't know that's true. He just didn't listen to radio and Facebook. I don't know what the preoccupation was with the United States, but that's, what was supposedly in the manifesto.
I didn't read it, and I didn't mention the guy's name, and I'm never going to mention these people's names. I don't think you should put their face on TV. I don't think you should talk about their stuff.
They actually don't over there.
They shouldn't.
They don't put their face on.
And we shouldn't. You should give these people no notoriety whatsoever. They should be dealt with in obscurity, and they should be dealt with and quickly. This is ridiculous. But here, all I keep hearing about is the manifesto. Now, granted, the guy mentioned Trump once in the manifesto, so now every time you turn around, read the manifesto. In fact, Kellyanne Conway's telling people, go read the damn manifesto.
I didn't know that.
Is that not the most bizarre couple you've ever seen? I thought I used to think James Carville and Mary Madeline were kind of far out, but looking at George and Kellyanne Conway, I'm going, how do they make it in the morning? How do they not kill each other over breakfast? Unless this is just a stunt.
Well, I was at a restaurant. It was called Tosco, and at the table was Carville, and then Mary Madeline came, and Rahm Emanuel. And we just had to go over to the table because it's like one of the tables you wanted to bug to hear what those three were saying. But, I had met Carvel and Mary in, social settings. And they would truly disagree with things. But, even Carvel was, to a certain point, at least decent about, some of the ways he approached it. But with her husband, he's just outright... he's angry. I mean, it's legitimate hate, sort of.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but the reality is, and this is one of those moments I keep hearing people saying, well, he's a true conservative, and he's angry about what Trump's doing to conservatism. And, there might be some truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, what he's saying now, I've been saying for the last 2 years, so there's no surprise here for me.
Right.
It just is what it is. But what's interesting, and my wife keeps bringing this up to me, that how quickly the government in New Zealand, how quickly the prime minister has moved on getting something done. And my wife goes, Columbine happened how many years ago? And we've done nothing since then. Couple of days and bang, they're already, we're getting rid of all this stuff.
Well, there's also a misperception. I've been to Australia and New Zealand, and there is a misperception. It's a, quote, wild and woolly country, and they always compare it to American in the 40s and the Wild West, but it's not the same. They don't have a constitutional statement, as I understand it.
Right.
So their whole approach is different.
Yeah, It's just, it's weird to me that you would do something in a place like that. Who, you know, I just never really, I don't know. Right. I guess if you were going to stir stuff up, maybe, maybe that's the future. Sad, sad stuff. Let's move on. The big news recently, Beto O'Rourke, $6.1 million take in the first 24 hours after announcing his candidacy.
Well, I, you know, and yes, he's more than Bernie, but, you know, not a whole lot more, but yes, he was. But I've got to tell you, I think he needs to take a little bit of that money and hire a consultant to make sure that the media doesn't lure him into the Beto O'Rourke apology tour.
Yeah.
I was amazed, honestly, at the length he went. He's going to have to learn. You know, he's outside Texas.
Yep.
At the length he went to apologize, and the statement on his wife, in my opinion, at least, and I, you know, I checked it. I called a couple of friends of mine who are, you know, Democratic consultants, and they're not really in his camp, right? But they agreed with me that, you know, his statement was actually flattering towards, incredible towards his wife.
No, it's the same thing that I've said probably a million times over the years. You know, my wife raises our children. That's her job. And it's the most important job you can possibly have. And it's like three, four, five. You know, she works much harder and much more than I do. And people say, oh, what wonderful kids you have, how well-behaved they are, you know, how polite they are. I go, yeah, my wife does a fantastic job. You know, I try and help when I can, but, you know, it's on her. And this is basically, isn't this basically what he said?
Well, yeah, but he did. He said, sometimes I help, and it was said in a joking manner because he's out on the campaign trail, and she's the one holding everything together. But, you know, he started to change even his wording after that and then apologized. And then the Vanity Fair article, you know, some candidates on the right have always tended, and I don't like this, have always tended to say that God told them to run or they're God's choice. You know, I don't like that. I'm, you know, I just don't like it personally. But he said that he was born to run. He didn't say ordained, but he said born to run. I honestly didn't see anything, you know, so horrific about that. Anyway, he apologized and backtracked on that. And then he got into a comment about, what was the other thing? I'm trying to remember. Something pertaining to another article, and then he apologized, you know, for that one. So he's just going to have to learn. Now the media will seek additional apologies for the apologies.
No, and look, I'm someone who, if you did something, you said something, and you said it. Say, look, I take responsibility for it. I said it. But this whole going back, I apologize. I'm sorry if I offended you. Look, if that's what the left has turned into, if that's what liberals have turned into, then I'm without a home.
Yeah, and he had the Call to the Dead cow hacker group in the 1980s. He also wrote about killing children. You know, he was 15, a fictional piece.
Yeah.
And I would point out, as much as when you say that, it's not good, obviously, for a candidate for president, but what about all the fictional movies, Children of the Corn, I can go down the line. They're fictional movies that, you know, somebody wrote, and he wrote a fictional piece when he was 15, so he was mortified and apologized for that. Like I said, if he continues, I mean, I was... It just seems like he wasn't prepared being in the bigger fishbowl outside Texas.
No, you're right. You stepped on my toe. Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, you're right. It will never end. And the right loves to paint Obama as the apologist. And if they can paint O'Rourke as that, so much even better, because now you can beat up on another Democrat. I hope he's not the candidate, to be honest. I just view him as an empty suit. And this is just, to me, is another reason why I view him as an empty suit. I may be wrong. You know, he may come up with a better immigration policy. He may actually, you know, articulate what his policies are. But he's no Elizabeth Warren on the policy front.
Well, I asked some people that I call them earthlings. They aren't politically involved, so they're normal earth people. And I had asked them about Beto, and they said, oh, he's charismatic. And I said, well, you know, do you know any of his policies? These are people that aren't politically, you know, tuned anywhere. And they said, nobody's Kennedy-esque. And I said, well, how about energy policy? I don't know, but he's Kennedy-esque.
Yep. No.
And once I heard that, I thought, okay, then this guy will be in more trouble because a couple of things will come out, and that's what brands him, you know, before he can brand himself.
Yeah. No, I've been saying, you know, the ticket probably should be, you know, either in my view, either Biden and Harris or Biden and Beto. simply because he is charismatic. He is going to excite the young people. And he doesn't have to have any real policy positions.
Now, I said today I thought Biden and Harris, you know, I was saying that.
But I'm also hearing Biden, you know, is talking with Stacey Abrams from Georgia, which, you know, I'm not sure if that's an advisory role or what, but, that, you know, that's one of the rumors that, you know, flying around today that there's that conversation there.
Biden would have ran 4 years ago, but with the passing of his son, you know, it just wasn't the time for it. You know, he had a lot of trauma. But it's going to be interesting. He's going to be in the race, and then you look at it, you got Bernie, who's ahead in Wisconsin, but you also have Biden, close second on that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out and how all these secondary players, how they dance into this. Because, you know, as I've been saying, you know, when the debates happen, because as I understand, there's only been, you know, one person who's officially qualified for the DNC debates, and that's that Andrew Yang. Because he's got 65,000 unique donations, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see how this plays out when you've got 100 people on the stage.
Right.
Anyway, let's move on. This weekend, did you see Chuck Todd's statement?
No.
On Obama, you know, everything that's going on is Obama's fault because he failed to unite the country.
No, I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, that was it. He's been just getting ripped on Twitter for the comment that, you know, everything that's going wrong is Obama's fault because, you know, now forget the fact that you had united opposition for 6 years.
You're talking about the man on TV.
Yeah, Chuck Todd.
Okay.
Meet the Depressed, I think, right?
I had to double check it. You know, maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I saw it. And I'm like, really, Chuck? You know, I guess you really stepped in it this time.
Yeah, it makes you want to say, did he inhale? I mean, it's kind of weird. I couldn't help that.
Let's move along. It looks like the Health and Human Services is moving forward on the Medicaid work requirements. Is that true?
Well, yes, and it would be, you know, there's multiple states. Now, let's use the one example where it's been. Now, originally a federal court, a judge has held it up. And HHS is continuing. So what they're going to do with Medicaid is treat it like remember the old word welfare, you know.
Yep.
But they themselves are saying treat it like a welfare program. Now, it's coming to Ohio. Now, interestingly enough, the articles are predicting 18,000 people to fall off the rolls. Do you know how many people fell off the rolls in Arkansas? 18,000. And the problem is Arkansas set up a system where you go into a website that was not available many times for a total of 10 hours a day. And if you didn't file your work hours, you couldn't do it by phone, you couldn't do it by email, you had to do it by the site. If you missed three times, not three consecutive months, but three times in 3 months, any month,
they booted
you're cut off automatically for 1 year.
Jeez.
Off the system. Now, here's the problem. These are people that mainly are working, the working poor. So, therefore, they will go straight on to the human service system, period. Instead of working, they'll go on to human services.
So and you're basically creating a situation where people aren't going to work.
Correct. And so this one, I'm just not sure, you know, how the states will think that they'll then pick that up on the other side of it. I don't get this one. You can do, and you know, the Republican Congress with Bill Clinton did a working for welfare program years ago, right?
And between you and me, and I know you were part of it, from my perspective, it was an abysmal failure for working people because there weren't jobs for those people, but go ahead.
Yeah, right. And that with the Medicaid is a whole different ball game, and when you look at it, and a different ball game to administer, I just don't know how you're going to do it because it then kicks them off and they have, you know, nowhere to go, whereas on the other system, at least it didn't eliminate them. It maybe was kind of a BS program that really wasn't functional, but it didn't eliminate them. And this one's sort of eliminating.
This all just seems really punitive to me, to be honest. Because, look, sure, you're talking about people who are at the bottom of, you know, of the economic scale. And I would argue in some cases, you know, near the bottom of the academic scale as well. And to make them have to be able to go through and navigate a website, have access to a computer and the internet, all that stuff, you know, to me just puts way too many barriers in front of people. Look, I consider myself somewhat educated. You know, I'm not a complete idiot, But I look at some of these sites, man, a couple of years ago, I had to file for a brief period of time for unemployment, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't go through the states. I finally just said, the hell with it. I'm not going to bother. And that's what they want, I believe.
Right. So it's going to be very, very difficult to administer. The federal court may step in. We don't know yet, so we'll keep you posted on it.
Yeah, well, again, not surprising to me. To me, you know, and I've taken heat for this over the years. As a kid, my mother was on and off welfare, and, you know, I did the whole clown money food stamp thing to the store, which, you know, I still have mental scars over. I'm against handout programs at virtually any level. I think is what we should have pursued during the Great Society is what A. Philip Randolph wanted, which is a jobs program. If the private sector can't or won't create enough jobs, the public sector has to create those jobs so people have the dignity of work. And then we don't have this throwing arrows at people who need food or housing assistance or any of that stuff. Everybody works. Everybody does something. So there's no way to continue to divide us. Because I think they use these programs simply to divide us and tear us apart and keep us pitted against each other so that we aren't looking to the real thieves and criminals. Just my thought, though.
Sure. No, I understand.
Let's finish up. I got to get your thoughts on this past crazy weekend of, you know, whatever, that nervous breakdown, the whole attacking McCain, the UAW, GM. What was going through Trump's mind, do you think, this weekend as he was – I guess, you know, he was using executive time more productively than he's done in the past, but wow, crazy.
Let's start with Saturday Night Live first, because you can't report him to the Federal Communications Commission. You can't do that. It's a comedy show, and you can't do that. So it amazes me, you know, he's done some things like Kim Jong-un, and he's fighting the Chinese on a tariff, so I really like that. All right, big picture stuff.
Yep.
No president has ever fought the Chinese. This is the first candidate president that's actually, you know, for no matter what anybody thinks of it, is doing a fight.
I'm on his side on this.
Yeah, right, me too. And big picture stuff, but he gets into the minutiae of Saturday Night Live and, of course, gives them a lot of credibility because now people are going to turn in to see what the hell they do to him. What the heck, I should say. You allowed to say that word?
Yeah. 80s? Yeah. What the heck? Yeah, we can use the S word. I guess the H word isn't as bad.
What the Hades that, you know, that they're going to do next Saturday? The McCain thing. Look, Senator McCain. I wrote a chapter on him called "The Good Senator." You know, I was not a fan of his. He was not a fan of mine. He helped through the hearings to just raise my name and, you know, put the thumb on me. All right. So I wasn't a happy human being. Having said that, I can honestly tell you when he passed, I wasn't happy, and I haven't said things about him. You know, we personally didn't get along, but I don't sit there and say, you know, he did this and he did hearings and, you know, it affected me and so many other people. I don't do that. And the president has this obsession, but I think it's because of the McCain family. I think because of maybe what the daughter said at the funeral, he can't let it go.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
Where did it come out of? Why?
Yeah, you know? McCain's got free rent in his head for some reason. And
Free rent.
You got to figure out why that is. But here's the thing, and this is where I go back to what George Conway is saying. You know, there's definitely something wrong with this guy. This is not the kind of leader that we need in these moments. You know, I saw this tweet, and I don't know where he pulled this number out of, but that, you know, he's got the support of 93% of the Republicans. I don't find that. That's something a tin pot dictator would say. There's no way 93% of Republicans support what he's doing.
Well, maybe he can't get him out of his head. Maybe we'll do a step 9 recovery resentment.
We got to do something. You got to do something.
Sir.
But, you know, I'll tell you, you know, on the Saturday Night Live thing, you know, when I woke up, you know, Sunday morning and I started reading through some tweets and I go, wow, I got to see what Saturday Night Live said. So I'm looking it up and I'm going, it was a rerun. Uh-huh. I'm going, he's flipping out over something that already happened?
Yes, it was a rerun.
just plain nuts. Anyway, lots of fun, I'm sure, coming up in the coming week. Can't wait to talk about it. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
As always, our good friend Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.